presence. And to those who are visiting with us, we want you to know that we are honored and pleased that you've come to be a part of our service this morning. To that end, I would encourage you to focus your mind, your attention on spiritual things and make sure that as we worship God, we do so in spirit and in truth. Last Sunday morning, we focused on the power of sin. And we made the point that sin is universal. That we do not escape sin. That everyone has sinned. That everyone has fallen short of God's glory, of God's expectation, of God's want for us. And when we sin, we forever separate ourselves from God if we are left to our own devices, if we're left to our own powers. And as powerful as sin is, as destructive as it is in our lives, I want you to understand that there is a power even greater than sin. It is the power of divine love. It is the power that has the ability to break that chain that binds us to sin. When you think about divine love, what comes to your mind? Well, we understand that the greatest expression of divine love can be found in the sending of Jesus Christ. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, verse 17, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so sin separates us from God. Sin condemns us to an eternity of torment and punishment. That is the destructive, devastating nature of sin. And it really makes no difference what sin you're talking about. I understand that in our lives, in our relationships in society, that we sometimes will put a greater emphasis on some sin being worse than others. And there's no doubt that even in God's dealing with man and man's sin, when you look at it from the Old Testament perspective, when you look at all of the things said about our interaction with each other, some sins were worse than others. Some sins had greater punishment than others. But the truth is, any sin separates us from God. And there's nothing we can do about that. And so, by divine love, God was willing to send the most precious of all gifts. He was willing to send his Son, that this chain of sin might be broken. And so God so loved the world. And you'll understand that this gift of God, it too is universal in nature. It is for everyone. And the truth is, it really makes no difference what your background is. And that's the beauty of God's love. And this great gift, because anyone and everyone can be saved. Anyone and everyone can have their sins remitted and forgiven. And so God loved the world that we might not perish, but that we might have everlasting life. Jesus did not come to condemn. He came to save. But understand, there is still condemnation in sin. People who live in sin will be forever lost if they die in that condition. But divine love is of such power that it can do what we could not do on our own. And this divine love given to those who are undeserving, the gift of our Lord and Savior, the sacrifice that he made, all of that was for those undeserving. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 8, But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were as soon as Christ died for us, while we were in that state of separation, while we were in that state of rebellion, God sent his Son. We were his enemies at that moment in time, separated from him. I want you to understand that divine love is connected with divine grace. We talk about the great grace of God and how we are saved by grace, and we are. But I want you to understand that grace is given because of love. In the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, beginning, "Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, there is no difference. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And so you'll note that Jesus Christ is the avenue, the mediator, that allows us to come into contact with God's love. It is that grace of God that allows us salvation. When you think about love, again, what do you picture in your mind? Do you think about something that is primarily emotional? Do you think something that is primarily dealing with feelings and the way you like or dislike someone? Because you understand that is not the Bible love that we're talking about. Oh, the Bible has, in different places, a love like that, a love of infatuation, a love of emotion. But when we talk about God's love for us, it is not that kind of love. In fact, what we read about this love is it is one that really is given without regard to merit, without regard to one deserving that kind of love. And again, we've established that God sent Jesus while we were sinners, that God demonstrated his love while we were alienated from him, and that the grace of God allows us to be reunited with him. Please realize, all of that is undeserving on our part. Love gives us strength. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of God," or the love of Christ, "which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And so it is this love that gives us strength to be able to face the difficulties of life, to be able to face whatever besets us. We know life is not always smooth. We know life is not always easy. And when we are grounded in love, God's love, when we are grounded in the love of Christ, that provides us with the strength we need to endure day by day, not just as dwellers here upon this earth, but as those who consider this earth as being just temporary. Those of us who think of ourselves as sojourners, as passing through. And so we are looking to something that is greater. We are looking toward an eternity. That's what divine love allows us. It allows us that strength of mind and character and heart so that we can make that journey. Because understand, when left to ourselves, we cannot make that journey. Love casts out fear. Have you ever been afraid of what eternity brings? Have you ever been afraid of where you will spend eternity? Have you ever been afraid of that scene, that judgment day scene, when people are raised up, when people will stand before Jesus and give an account of themselves, their lives, knowing that Jesus is going to pronounce judgment, knowing that there's going to be a separation? Have you ever been afraid of that scene? In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Let's break this passage down just a little bit to understand it. First of all, John talks about knowing and believing the love that God has for us. God is love. And again, that is demonstrated. Love without some manifestation is meaningless. Love is only known by what it does. And so when he talks about knowing and believing in God's love and what God has done for us, it is because of the sacrifice of Jesus. It is because God had revealed himself and revealed the mystery of salvation. You see, there was a sureness there. There was reality there. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him. In other words, we must abide in the love of God. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. And so really this love is a two-way street, is it not? Now listen to this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And so he's talking here about that final day. That day when we are called before Jesus. He says this love, therefore, gives us boldness, confidence. When we stand there. Because again, love was verified and validated by the actions of God the Father. The love that we have toward God the Father, they are seen in our service, in our submission, in our willing compliance with what God wants from us. And so, knowing that, when we stand there before God on the day of judgment, it will not be a sad scene. But now listen to this part. Because as he is, so are we in this world. In other words, this confidence, this boldness based on love is really seen in what we do in this life. How we conduct ourselves. From time to time, someone will make a comment in a song service often. If you don't like to sing, then why do you think you're going to enjoy heaven? If you don't like to sing, then why do you think you'll even make it to heaven? And of course, the point is, we will be singing to God. But also the point is that if we're not doing the things we need to be doing here on this life, in this world, and we're not worshiping God the way God wants us to worship Him, if that is going to be our primary purpose and function in heaven, then why in the world do we think we're going to make it to that point? If I'm not doing what God wants me to do in the here and now, in this world, and I'm not like Jesus was in this world, then do I really have the kind of love that is going to carry me into the world to come without fear? And the answer is no. There is no fear in love, he says in verse 18. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So when we have that kind of mindset, where we fear that day of judgment, we don't have the love of God that we ought to. We love him because he first loved us. That's the power of divine love. It takes the anxiety and the fears of life and casts them aside. I'm not saying life becomes paradise here on this earth. I'm not saying that all of our troubles suddenly disappear, because they don't. But what I'm saying is, when we have the love of God, we are able to deal with these things. And the true fear of the life to come is removed. Understand something. Nothing can separate us from God's love. All that Satan has, all that he can throw at us, the sin that we talked about last Sunday, none of that can remove us from God's love. In Romans chapter 8, and we're reading down toward the end of the context here, where many things were listed and talked about. In verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As powerful as Satan is, as enticing as sin can be, none of that has the power to remove us from God's love. God has given us a way to overcome what Satan throws at us. We can be assured that whatever we face, we can be victorious. Nothing can separate us from God's love. It is that strong. It is that powerful. What we did not do on our own, and that is be right in the sight of God. What we did not do, God allows a way that nothing or no one can take away from us. Think about this for a moment. The only way I can put Jesus aside, his sacrifice I'm talking about, and to end up in eternity with God is to live perfect. I've not done that. I've sinned against God. And so I have failed the opportunity that I've had to do this on my own, so to speak. Now, I need help. I need God's love. But in God's love, I don't have to be sinless. Because you see, the blood of Jesus washes away sin. When we are baptized into Christ, we come forth a new creature. Love requires love in return. If you're going to enjoy divine love, the love that God has, the love that God has given, then understand you are going to have to love in return. In John chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, who begets, also loves him who is begotten of him. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So what he says here, God has loved you, now you love him. And not only love him, but love your neighbor as well. Love your brethren. You see, divine love requires we love each other. In 1 John 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Do we really think that we can go through life without compassion, without sympathy, empathy? Do we think we can go through life and watch people as they struggle and never do anything to try and help? Whether it be a simple word of encouragement, whether it be the idea of providing something that is monetary in nature? Do we really think that we can go through life and shut up the bowels of compassion that we should have? If you think that way, understand that there is a rather lengthy passage that will set you straight. There's a lengthy passage where the entire judgment of right and wrong is based on how we treat each other. Turn over to the book of Matthew for a moment. I want you to listen to what he says. Matthew chapter 25. Now, these are some words just prior to his death. Jesus is on the verge of being crucified. And this was important to him, because he talks about the division that is going to take place. He says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Drop down for a moment to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then in verse 46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so what was so important here? That this divide was going to take place. What was the standard that some, in fact, lived up to and others did not? It was the standard of compassion. Go back there in Matthew chapter 25. He tells us, for I was and hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And those who were separated away did not. We are to love each other. When we allow sin to come into our lives and remain there, when we refuse to make the changes that need to be made, then sin gains more and more and more power over us. Passage read a few moments ago in preparing our minds for the Lord's Supper. And he read from the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read a little bit more from that context. He talks about how the body of Christ, comes together in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, we all do our part. We have a function. There's a need for us. There's a need for each and every member. But now in verse 17, this I say therefore, in other words, if we're going to come together and we're going to grow and we're going to be built up and we're going to be that spiritual house, then this follows. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what God wants of us. That's who we are to become. Put off certain things. Put on others. If you go on down and finish out the context here in chapter 4, list of things is given. A list is provided. The things that we are to put off. But then in verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. Based on love. Based on the compassion that we feel for each other. Only by loving God and one another can the power of sin be broken. That is the only way. In the book of Matthew, chapter 22, in verse 35, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so if I am going to take full advantage of this law of God, the divine love that God has, then I myself must put God first. I must love him with every part of my being. And second to that is the fact that I love my neighbor as myself. When you think about all that we find in the Old or the New Testament, it's all based on these two principles. And guess where it comes from? It's not some great enlightenment that we have devised ourselves or thought of ourselves after centuries and centuries of meditation and thought. This kind of love comes from one place. It comes from God. And if we have only a superficial love, the kind of love that we see so readily in this country, in this society, then it's not the love of salvation. It's not the love of God. The power of sin is great. And the truth is, on your own, you cannot defeat it. You will not defeat it. When you sin against God, you're alienated from Him. You are in bondage to that sin. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We need to understand the power of sin, because it helps us to keep our guard up. But there is such a greater power in this universe. It is the love of God. If you're not in the love of God, you may remedy that very easily. It's a very simple process. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn your heart to Him in repentance. Confess your faith and be immersed or baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Divine love provided that way for us. There's no other way. If you're a child of God and maybe you have forgotten about divine love a little bit in your life, it's not as important to you, it has not been as important to you as it should be, or maybe as it was when you first responded, you need to come back. God's love is real. While nothing can separate us from God's love, we can separate ourselves. And when that happens, there's a way back. That way back is by confessing our sins to Him and by asking God's forgiveness. If you need to respond, do so. As together we stand and we sing the psalms.